I'd like to begin this final session with two true stories that illustrate the value of persistence and perseverance in any of life's endeavors. The first story is about a mountain climber named Don Bennett. After successfully scaling 14,000-foot Mount Rainier, one of the highest mountains and most difficult climbs in the United States, Don Bennett was interviewed about the experience by a local reporter. "How did you do it?" the reporter wanted to know. "How did you keep going for 14,000 feet and not giving up?" Bennett thought for a moment before answering. Then he spoke slowly, trying to get the reporter to understand the mental process that led him to the peak of that mountain. "Starting months before the climb," Bennett said, "I created a vision of myself at the top of the mountain. That vision was so real that I could actually feel the cold wind blowing in my face, and I could see the spectacular mountains and valleys all around me. I saw and felt this vision 100 times a day. It inspired me. It motivated me. It kindled my determination to see the climb through to the end. During the climb itself," he continued, "I drew upon my vision for inspiration. When the going got tough, I saw myself at the top of that mountain just as clear as could be. And then finally, I reached my goal and my vision became a reality." The reporter was impatient with Bennett's explanation. Yeah, he said, "I've heard all that vision stuff before. But that doesn't explain how you did it. You're an amputee. How did a one-legged man climb a 14,000-foot mountain?" Don Bennett looked the reporter straight in the eye and said quietly, "One hop at a time. My vision became a reality, one hop at a time." Our second true story takes place during the last few weeks of World War II. Don McCall was a seaman on the Navy ship Indianapolis, which at the time was cruising the Philippine Sea. Suddenly, the ship was struck by Japanese torpedoes, and immediately it began to sink. McCall was asleep below decks when the first torpedo hit. He instinctively grabbed his life jacket and made his way up to the deck as the ship began to roll over. As he launched himself into the churning sea, the ship sank, taking 300 men with her. Another 900 or so had been pitched into the water. "I made up my mind that I was in big trouble," McCall told an interviewer, "and I also made up my mind that I would do whatever I had to do, no matter how painful, to survive." The first thing McCall did was to move away from the other survivors and float alone. He knew about the dangers of mass panic, especially if there was a shark attack, and he knew he'd stand a better chance if he stayed away from the other men. McCall also protected himself from exposure in the blistering sun by keeping a life jacket over his head. He kept a hose on his person so he could retreat underwater in case of a Japanese attack. And most important, he kept in mind the lesson he had learned about the danger of drinking seawater, no matter how thirsty he got. For days, McCall watched men succumbing to mass panic and hallucination. He watched them being torn apart by sharks, while he escaped attack by remaining perfectly still. He watched them drinking seawater and dying of dehydration, while he swallowed his own desire to drink. He watched them dying all around him, while he remained alive. 4 days later, a Navy patrol boat plucked an exhausted 90-pound McCall out of the sea. He had survived 4 days without food or drink in the blistering sun, in shark-infested waters. An incredible feat, and he had proved the power of self-discipline even in holding death at bay. Like mountain climber Don Bennett, McCall never lost sight of his vision, staying alive. He used all his knowledge and skill to make that vision come true. He resisted drinking seawater to get immediate gratification of his thirst, which would have killed him. And he found creative solutions to the problems of exposure to the sun and Japanese attack. Both Bennett and McCall used self-discipline to endure terrible physical hardship and achieve seemingly unachievable goals. Your own goal may not seem as urgent as theirs, but the principle of achieving it remains the same. Through vision, commitment, patience, and creative application of knowledge and skill, you can see your goal through to the end. But the ultimate key to your success is what this session is all about: persistence and perseverance. In this session, you're going to learn what persistence and perseverance are really all about. You'll be taught how to develop both of these critical qualities through the application of 5 simple principles. You'll find out how to turn problems and setbacks even agonizing situations, into positive learning experiences that will actually bring you closer to the realization of your goal. And you'll understand the value of never giving up, no matter how tough the journey gets or how endless it seems. First, let's define the words persistence and perseverance. Is there a difference between the two? Yes, a subtle one. Persistence means never giving up. Perseverance means persisting in spite of hardships, opposition, and setbacks. Mountain climber Bennett and Navy Seaman McCall displayed both persistence and perseverance in their heroic efforts to reach their goals. Bennett had to use his one leg to hop at least 30,000 times to get up to the top of Mount Rainier. McCall had to stay calm and follow a life-saving plan while spending 4 days in shark-infested waters without any food or drink. These men reached their goals because they had already developed the qualities of persistence and perseverance. Now you are going to learn how to develop these qualities too. There are 5 crucial steps involved in learning how to develop into the kind of self-disciplined achiever who never quits and never loses sight of his or her goal. Listen carefully while I outline each one. The first step is to rekindle and refuel your vision and purpose every single day. Remind yourself daily of the rewards and benefits that await you when you successfully realize your goal. The emotion you draw from these constant reminders of why you're working so hard and giving up so many things will sustain your powers of persistence and perseverance. The second step is to firmly anchor the following attitude deep within your heart and mind. I can achieve anything I set my mind to. Nothing is impossible for me to achieve if I want it badly enough and am willing to pay the price for it. No matter how much hard work it takes, no matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult it is, I can and will achieve my goal. I will never forget that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Step 3. Realize that obstacles are going to arise and setbacks are going to occur. Keep in mind that these difficulties are really opportunities to learn. Every obstacle that you overcome, every setback you bounce back from, strengthens your character and makes you smarter and stronger. Whatever you do, don't try to hide from or ignore problems. They never go away by themselves. Meeting challenges squarely and solving problems creatively is at the heart of self-discipline and at the heart of achievement. As Benjamin Franklin said, those things that hurt instruct. When your progress seems blocked, it means that it's time to increase your knowledge and look for creative solutions. This is the fourth step in developing persistence and perseverance. You may be doing the wrong things for the right reasons, and now is the time to find out. Start experimenting with taking different paths to your destination. But whatever you do, don't quit. Most people quit when things don't work out as they'd planned, or when they realize how much hard work they're going to have to do. Remember, a failure is someone who has not learned from his mistakes. Step 5. Turn your work into fun. Make what you have to do into something you want to do. Working towards a lifelong goal shouldn't feel like a sacrifice, because that goal is what you want more than anything in the world. If you follow these 5 steps faithfully, your long road to success will turn into an exciting journey of knowledge, discovery, challenge, and reward. And for as long as you feel you're making progress, even hard work and minor interferences won't shake you from your purpose. The real problem arises when a major setback occurs, especially if it's unforeseen. A seemingly insurmountable obstacle is often enough to make even the most determined achiever decide that the fight simply isn't worth it. Setbacks make people give up just at the point when they should not. How can you deal successfully with setbacks? How can you learn not to feel like a failure when it suddenly seems that all of your hard work may have been for nothing? There are 5 ways you can turn every setback you encounter into a learning experience, one that will leave you stronger and wiser and more determined than ever to keep working toward your goal. Listen carefully while I outline each one in turn. First, never try to ignore a problem or handicap. Deal with your problems directly. Don't avoid them or try to hide from them. If you want to start a business but can't find people to back you up financially, That doesn't give you the right to plunge into your project with no capital and a lot of ideas for spending money. If you want to become a doctor but don't have the grades to get into medical school, it won't help you to start applying to schools you know you can't get into. When you have a problem, study it from all angles and try to determine the best way to proceed. Which brings us to our second point. Don't blame other people for your setbacks, and don't chalk it up to bad luck. You make your own luck in this life, and you have to solve your own problems. Learn to tackle them head-on, being as realistic as possible and as level-headed as possible. Mentors can often provide a great deal of help in a bad situation. Try acting as if you are your own mentor. What would he or she do in your situation? Or what has he or she already done to overcome an obstacle similar to yours? Third, continually strive to strengthen your qualities of self-discipline. Setbacks often occur because of weaknesses in certain areas. Try to turn those weaknesses into strengths. Be your own severest critic, but not your own worst enemy. Don't tell yourself, "I failed." Tell yourself, "I slipped, but I'm going to pick myself up and go on." Fourth, in almost every setback, there's a seed of opportunity, a silver lining, if you will. Find it and use it. You may find yourself taking a slightly different path to achieving your goal than you first imagined, but you'll get there just the same. Take the new path and see where it leads you. Following this philosophy helps take the emotional sting out of setbacks and is a good antidote for discouragement, and it's a healthier way to react to a bad situation than deciding to give up. Fifth, always remember that no matter how difficult a problem is or how insurmountable it seems, there's always a solution. A problem is only really a problem if you think you can't solve it. If you take the attitude that every problem has a solution, and you approach your problem with an open and creative mind, you'll find that solution. A young woman we know named Carol Napier was faced with and managed to overcome the kind of setbacks that might make anybody want to give up. Her story is so inspiring that we'd like to end this session with her example of what it's like to be a self-disciplined achiever who never quits, no matter what. At 26, Carol had a degree in marketing and a good job as a marketing assistant, with an eye to moving up in the company she worked for as soon as there was an opening for a higher position. Carol had diabetes, diagnosed when she was 12, but had always been able to keep it under control with insulin shots, and had always lived a perfectly normal, relatively healthy life. In the spring of Carol's 26th year, she began having trouble with her eyes. Doctors told her that her diabetes was causing her to slowly lose her eyesight. At first, Carol refused to believe it, but when she began having trouble driving, she realized the doctors were right, and she would have to re-evaluate her job and her purpose in life to deal with the problem of approaching blindness. But before Carol could come up with a solution to that problem, her kidneys also began to fail. Ultimately, she needed a kidney transplant, which was done successfully when she turned 27. Everything seemed to be going fine when a sudden episode of insulin shock left Carol paralyzed from the waist down. Carol recalls wanting to quit then and there. "At that point, I just wanted to go to sleep and never wake up. The depression got so bad that I realized I couldn't go on this way. I only had one choice, and that was to get myself out of this." Slowly, Carol regained her strength, learning to walk again with the aid of physical therapy. She rewarded herself for her progress by making a trip across the country alone to visit her parents for Thanksgiving. A trip friends tried to dissuade her from taking, but which proved to Carol that she could still make it on her own. Today, Carol is attending college, studying for a master's degree in rehabilitative education. She has decided to spend the rest of her life helping people face and overcome problems like hers. She is completely blind and still walks with a cane, but that has not stopped her from pursuing a goal many healthy people would find difficult to achieve. The key to reaching any goal is to develop the strength of character that makes you refuse to give up, no matter how bad things look. The most amazing thing about persistence and perseverance is that they make it almost impossible for you not to succeed in your endeavors. In this session, you've learned the importance of not being a quitter, of learning from your mistakes, and of keeping an open mind when it comes to finding creative solutions to problems you may think are unsolvable. We're now coming to the end of the neuropsychology of self-discipline. And now is a good time to reflect on what you've learned and how far you've come. It's also a good time to start thinking about how you're going to maintain and develop your self-disciplined character for the rest of your life, because the process of becoming an achiever never really ends. In the years to come, you'll find yourself learning from trial and error, from accomplishments, from setbacks, from disappointments, from rewards, from the feeling of satisfaction you get when a job has been well done. The more you achieve, the more you'll learn one of the greatest secrets of achievement. Success breeds success. Every small step you take on the road to your goal will make it easier to take the next step. And once you've achieved your goal, you'll probably find that there's another goal you want to achieve. Along the way, you'll delight in the process of watching yourself in action, making corrections in your methods and strategies as you strive toward your ultimate goal and the hundreds of smaller goals you will successfully reach on the way. Let's talk about the milestones you've already passed. In session one, which you listened to some time ago, you uncovered the master key to your highest potential, self-discipline. We define self-discipline as the ability to work systematically and progressively toward a goal, to become positively obsessed with that goal, and to let that obsession lead you to accomplishment. We talked about the problems caused by lack of self-discipline. We learned about the waste of potential, the drifting from job to job, from relationship to relationship, of the person who has no real sense of purpose and an undisciplined approach to life in general. We also talked about the problems of wanting immediate gratification and how that always leads to failure because it means refusing to pay for success with hard work. There is no other way to be successful except through hard work. The words pay for shouldn't bother you. All accomplishments come with a price tag, just like something you might want to buy. And just as you will save for an item you really want to buy, cutting your budget and making financial sacrifices, you should also be willing to make sacrifices in order to reach your goal. You may have to give up time, recreational activities, other priorities in your life. But it won't be difficult to do, because reaching your goal will become a more important source of pleasure. In session two, you were introduced to the 10 characteristics of the self-disciplined achiever. These characteristics served as a model against which you could compare your own strengths and weaknesses. Let's review them quickly now to refresh your memory and see how far you've come in absorbing the principles of this program. First, self-disciplined achievers have a strong sense of purpose. They have a cause or direction to which they have chosen to dedicate their lives. This cause gives them meaning in their lives and a reason to exist. Second, the self-disciplined seek out positive role models, called mentors, to teach them how to best approach their goal and overcome setbacks and obstacles along the way. Third, self-disciplined achievers use sensory images to provoke the kind of emotion that keeps them working toward their goal for as long as it takes to achieve it. Fourth, those possessing an iron will dwell on the fulfillment of their vision rather than on fear and failure. They have a positive attitude toward themselves and their goal and refuse to let setbacks get them down. Fifth, the self-disciplined achiever has a deep-rooted belief in his or her ability to achieve. This "I know I can do it" attitude is nurtured by their study of mentors and their realization that the only thing that stands between themselves and their goals is hard work and self-discipline. Sixth, self-disciplined achievers have the ability to plan and organize. They know that a goal can never successfully be reached in a haphazard way. They understand that they must map out a blueprint for success if they are ever to realize their highest ambitions. Seventh, they know how and when to acquire the essential knowledge and skills they need to achieve their goals. This comes from the planning and organization work they did earlier. Eighth, self-disciplined achievers have patience. They understand the concept of seasoning and its importance in reaching any goal. Time does not frighten them. Ninth, people who achieve their goals do so through persistence and perseverance, they are stubborn in their efforts to achieve, and they never give up. 10th, self-disciplined achievers have a mature attitude toward pleasure. Rather than seeking any diversion that will temporarily make them feel better, they take the most pleasure in doing the work that will help them achieve their goal. How many of these 10 characteristics did you remember? We suggest you play session 2 over and over again until you can recall every one of them without prompting. Making these qualities a part of your own personality is what acquiring self-discipline is all about. And the more you listen to them, the more you think about them, the more they will become a part of your own life. In session 3, we delved deeply into the scientific basis for this program. You learned how the key to success is developing the kind of constant internal motivation that keeps you on course through problems and setbacks, through temporary boredom or fatigue, through periods of doubt or discouragement. And you found out why other motivational programs fail to give you the sustenance you need to pursue your goal for weeks, months, or years. You learned about Dr. Carl Prebram's research into images of achievement and the critical role they play in motivating people to be successful. Dr. Prebram's discovery of the power of sensory-rich images to provoke the drive of motivation made the creation of this unique program possible. In session 4, we discussed the power of purpose. Here you learn to focus your energy like a laser beam on what you want to accomplish. You learned how your macro or major purpose really could be broken down into a series of micro or minor achievements. You heard examples of how well-known achievers tackled major goals by turning them into step-by-step plans for success that they could deal with one at a time. In the same session, you participated in a fascinating exercise that lets you pinpoint, perhaps for the first time, what your most important goal in life really is. You then use that goal to create a statement of purpose that would stand as a beacon in your quest for achievement. In session 5, we talked about mentors and role models. You learned about the process of modeling, the basis for human learning. We talked about how models are both a blueprint and an inspiration for our own activity and our own growth. You learned how models help shorten the trial and error process we must all go through before chalking up an accomplishment. You also learned how to choose a role model and how to turn that model into an inspirational but not awe-inspiring figure. You learned the value of realizing that your role model has faults and weaknesses just as you do, but has succeeded in spite of them. In session 6, you learned how to translate your purpose into sensory images that would fuel your inner fire of determination and ambition. And you learn how to daily reinforce your mental images of achievement to make them a permanent part of your body and mind. In session 7, you were introduced to visual network planning. This planning system applies to any endeavor from making a movie to making a run for the presidency. The system works by breaking down what you want to accomplish into logical building blocks. It helps you keep track of your achievements over a long period of time and is a reward in itself for work well done. In the same session, you learned to become a storyteller. The story was that of your own success. You used your rich powers of imagination and your best verbal skills to detail the steps you took to accomplish your most important goals. In session 8, you learned about the self-disciplined achiever's attitude toward time. You learned how achievers value patience, how they oppose the kind of quick-fix mentality that leads to general dissatisfaction with life, and how they use single-minded hard work to experience time quickening, a sensation that time is passing much more rapidly than it really is. You also learned about the problem of procrastination, its psychological causes, and the ways in which you can overcome it. You learned why it is considered the single most important cause of failure, and why it's so important for you to develop a do-it-now attitude before you try to do anything else. In session 9, you learned how to plan to acquire the knowledge and skills you need in order to achieve your goals. You were introduced to the concept of mega-learning, a powerful four-step system that enables you to master any subject, no matter how difficult or complex. You also learned how knowledge is the building block of creativity. You were introduced to a four-step process that that lets you creatively channel your knowledge toward the kind of action that will help you achieve your goals. And you learn that your belief in your ability to learn is 90% of the learning process. Finally, in Session 10, you learned how to develop the powers of persistence and perseverance, the critical characteristics that will see you through to the successful completion of your vision and purpose, no matter how long it takes or how difficult it is. You heard several inspiring stories about people who persevered and achieved their goals through extreme hardship and even physical danger. And now, as we come to the conclusion of this program, I'd like to point out that acquiring self-discipline is a never-ending process. There won't come a day when you wake up in the morning and say, "Yes, I'm finally self-disciplined now. There's nothing more I need to do to develop strength of character and determination of will." Self-discipline requires a lifetime of commitment. This doesn't mean you won't develop the habits of self-discipline in a relatively short period of time. It simply means that you must always be vigilant about how you are approaching your goals and what your purpose in life really is. It's all too easy to get sidetracked in something that feels comfortable but is not what you really set out to achieve. Every small victory will become a cause for celebration and a chance to renew your faith in your own ability to achieve whatever it is you want in life. And as you achieve it, you will find yourself becoming the kind of person you've always admired. The kind of person who could pursue a goal so single-mindedly, so stubbornly, and so patiently that he or she could not help but achieve it. I'm Richard Gebhardt. Thank you for joining me in this CyberVision program.